Congratulations to Brady and Lindsay Funk for being named Saskatchewan's Outstanding Young Farmers. It was done at Canada's Farm Show this past Thursday in Regina. Tell us about the experience. What was it like? What was it like meeting the alumni from previous years? Give us an idea about the experience itself.
Well, thank you, Neil. It was an incredible opportunity. We were introduced to the OYF family in Regina and just really welcomed with open arms. That group of people are just a very incredible, professional group of people. Nothing but good things to say about the leadership team. Yeah, they just doted on us and brought us to the governor's house. And we just had some incredible experiences that we were able to share with the other nominees as well. And to the sponsors, they gifted us with some incredible gifts and food and hotels, and everything was paid for. Just a very unique opportunity, and we're just very blessed to be part of that.
Lindsay, how did you get to be nominated, or how did you get to learn about this program?
To be honest, someone nominated us, and we're still not even sure who it was. And once we were nominated, we talked about whether we wanted to move forward with this, because it was quite a process with the applications and whatnot. And we decided that we have such a unique opportunity with our subsurface irrigation project that we wanted to share it with others and show others the inspiration behind the project and how it's going.
Before we get to that subsurface irrigation project, let's start off with how the two of you met.
We met 16 years ago, I guess. Our families had known each other years back, and we met at Cypress Hills, I believe. We were friends for a couple of years and then started dating while I was in high school and Brady had just graduated, so we've been together a very long time now.
You started off in Wymark working with your family's operation. Tell us about how all that works, because there are a few different people involved in that dynamic.
We farm south of Swift Current in the Wymark area. We farm with Lindsay's parents and her brother and sister-in-law. So we have three separate corporations, but collectively we do everything together. So we really lean on each other's strengths to provide a successful outcome. There's areas where I lack, where the others pick up, and vice versa. So it's a very well-balanced family farm. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. But yeah, we're just able to lean on each other in the areas that that we lack for a successful outcome.
Yeah, it's been pretty challenging down in that southwest with the weather the last few years, hasn't it?
We've been faced with, roughly since 2017, there's been the El Nino weather systems that have drastically affected the southwest part of Saskatchewan. And through that, we've had two good years since 2017 and, you know, drought the other years. So the variability in the market pricings and the variabilities in access to rainfall has been major, major impact for our family farm and many others. So navigating that and being able to manage cash flow through these difficult times is crucial, but then also vertically integrating other opportunities to maintain a successful generational family farm are very, very key.
One of those opportunities is right on the farm, a flower growing operation that Lindsay and your, I believe, sister-in-law are involved with. Tell us about that.
So my sister-in-law, Alyssa, and I, we operate a little flower farm called Two Sisters Flower Co. It is based off of my farm, and we have groups out. We teach them how to cut flowers, make arrangements. We do that throughout the summer. You sign up and you come out and pick flowers. And we also sell bouquet subscriptions and we wholesale to florists as well. So it's a really fun thing that Alyssa and I get to do together. It's really grown us closer together, and it's just a fun way to express our creativity and enjoy other people.
How do you water the flowers? Because as Brady mentioned, it's been pretty dry down there.
Our first year flower farming, we invested in an irrigation system. It's drip tape, so we have four lines of drip tape per row of flowers. And we irrigate that way, just kind of measuring the moisture in the soil. Also, Alyssa is an agrologist, So she knows all about soil sciences and plants and that sort of thing. So she keeps a close eye on how things are doing and makes suggestions based on her knowledge as well.
Now, how do you market the flowers?
We market mostly on Facebook and Instagram. We have a following there where people can look at our pictures, that sort of thing. We tell them when we're having events, and then you can sign up through there. So mostly through social media and word of mouth.
What type of flowers do you grow out there?
We grow all sorts of things, even that you wouldn't imagine can grow in Saskatchewan, but things like cosmos, zinnias, sweet peas, bells of Ireland, celosia, all sorts of fun things. We have a lot of snapdragons as well. It's a very colorful and beautiful little operation we have.
And you have U-Pick events. Tell us about those.
So throughout the year, usually the month of August and then into September, we host U-Pick events. You can sign up, go to our socials, Facebook and Instagram, and there's a sign-up link where you can sign up for, we have two slots twice a week each day, and you can come out. We'll show you how to cut flowers and arrange them, and then you get to take your beautiful little bouquet home.
And you also work with school students in the area as well with the flower farm. What do you do?
So our little school, Weimark School, has a gardening club. So each year they come out and I show them different things in the garden. This past fall, I had the gardening club out and I showed them all about how to save seeds. So we had over 20 students here. I gave them a jar and they helped save a bunch of seeds that I can plant this year. It's really fun having the kids out because they're very excited about growing things, and seeing flowers on the scale that we have them is pretty interesting for them as well.
Now, staying with that irrigation theme on a larger scale, Brady, you're involved with a subsurface drip irrigation project out in the Lucky Lake area. Now, that might seem a little unusual because of the distance between Weimark and Lucky Lake. Tell us how that all came about.
In 2021, we were presented with a land purchase opportunity in the area, and I was able to see the potential of irrigation on that property. And it was through, out of necessity in a sense, that we were able to incorporate irrigation into our current dry land operation to mitigate the risk of drought and to help with long-term generational success. Now, this may sound a little abstract to a lot of people, but the way that we were able to essentially irrigate this project was birthed out of a Bible verse in Genesis 2, verse 6. And it says, in the beginning, there were streams that welled up from beneath to water the surface of the earth. And so I took that verse literally and believed it implicitly, and then was able to travel to Israel to see how they were able to use that technology that they actually developed. Quickly saw that how they were able to grow high value crops in a desert was extremely successful. Toured some other farms in Canada that was currently using the technology on a smaller scale. And then just really quickly realized that what they were doing was a perfect fit for our operation. And we compiled that information. We leaned on the Genesis 2 verse 6 Bible verse throughout the entire project and essentially came to develop Canada's largest subsurface drip irrigation project.
Now, did you do this yourself, or was there a company involved, or how did this proceed?
Southern Irrigation has been the main contract company that out of Lethbridge. Now they've actually opened up other stores in, across the prairies since then. We partnered with Southern Irrigation for the vast majority of the technology and the installs and other things like that.
How long did it take to get things up and running?
We started breaking ground in the spring of 2022, and we had to install 3 miles of 24-inch HDP mainline. And eventually, as the project concluded in the spring of 2024, we ended up putting over 8 million feet of subsurface drip irrigation tape in the ground, along with sub-main lines at the ends of each field as well. So it's been a labor of love, I guess, but after seeing the fruits of our labor this year and last year, it's definitely starting to pay off.
Can you basically tell us, you know, how this system works? Obviously, the water comes in from, I believe, the South Saskatchewan River, and then where does it go from there, and, you know, how does it get to the plants?
I will communicate this as effectively as possible from the start to finish. So we draw, like you said, we draw out of the South Saskatchewan River. We use many different three-phase pumps that are all controlled by VFD controllers to maximize electrical efficiencies. The water is carried up to a big filtration house, and it's a high micron filtration house that is automatically back flushed. So the water is very pure that we're injecting into the soil. In that filtration house, we have a fertigation system as well. And that fertigation system is able to microdose the essential nutrients in the water system as the plants are developing and growing throughout the crucial growth stages. So as an example, if durum is tillering and flowering and the heads are filling, through those crucial stages, we're able to, like I said, spoon feed or microdose the nutrients as that plant is needing them throughout every week or every day. After the fertigation is injected, it goes through different sub-mains, pressure differential valves, delivered to one end of the field. It then eventually flows through the subsurface drip irrigation tape, which is pressure compensated. So as the elevation changes throughout the fields, the water delivery method is equal at the high end versus the low end because of the spring-loaded pressure compensation emitters. And then eventually it gets to the other end where we have flush valves. And so we're able to monitor the pressure differential from the north end to the south end via radio frequency, which connects to cell phone signal. And we can operate that system from anywhere in the world through a Galcon controller system. So if we have any mechanical issues, like an example would be a leak in the field, we're able to see on each specific zone, and there's 10 zones on each field, if there's a leak in the field, and we can identify that via pressure drop from one end to the other.
So if there are issues like that, do you run out there yourself, or is there somebody in that area that kind of looks after any problems that you observe from your end?
Yeah, I rely on, again, people that are better than me in specific areas. So we have a irrigation specialist on site throughout the growing season that is able to assist with those crucial operation moments. So yeah, he's on site at all times, not only monitoring the system, checking for leaks, but also just really making sure that we have optimal yield optimization for each specific crop that we're growing.
So it took a couple of years to get all this in place, and you've been growing a couple of crops since then. Talk about how 23 and 24 went.
2023, we were, I would say, 50% capacity. We only had half of our acres developed, and you know, with startup issues, I would say we had probably only 50% of the water available that we needed just due to startup issues. But year one was, all things considered, very successful. We grew Kabuli chickpeas on irrigation. That was fun. And then this year, spring of 2024, we had a few things to finish up, but we were able to have full capacity irrigation on all our fields. And we grew a durum variety that was able to achieve roughly a 500% yield increase over the dryland acres that were located in the near proximity to our project.
So that whole area would have been hit by drought again this year, and you were able to easily compare the two.
Yeah, we were able to compare some yield data with some of the close neighbors that we have there. And it's in a unique area that has a lot of heat units. The soil is ideal for irrigation, sandy loam. Again, we rely on rainfall to have average or above average crops. And it seems to be in that area that the rain maybe deviates on an average year. So we're able to mitigate that risk through this subsurface drip irrigation now.
Do you think with irrigation, the fact that water wasn't a concern, would the July heat have actually helped the durum?
Yeah, we're able to, again, lean on those higher end heat units. And it's interesting, it as we're irrigating, you would think that the heat stress would cause a yield deficiency in the crop, but in the pockets that we were irrigating, the humidity was much higher. Therefore, it created almost a dome over the crop. And I believe that through the combination of the irrigation process with the heat was able to maximize the yield potential.
Farmers always want to know about costs. 923 acres of dry land, switching it to irrigation. I'm sure there was quite a bit of cost. How much of that information are you able to share? Like how expensive, or other than the work, I'm sure there's a lot of dollars involved.
Yeah, I would say throughout the entire project, start to finish, cash flow management has been the biggest challenge that I've learned throughout that. So just getting creative with financing has been crucial. I don't want to really expand on the cost of it. It is definitely more than a traditional pivot, but we're able to lean on different grants that provincially and federally. One of the biggest ones that really affirmed what we were doing was the Agriculture Clean Technology federally funded program that we were able to, we were actually successful in getting that. And so what that is it focuses on carbon and emission reductions while maximizing efficiencies in your operation. And so that was just really a reaffirming moment in our career once we received that on a federal level.
What are you planning to grow on that irrigated land this year?
This year we have blackstrap black beans going in with a planter. And simultaneously, we have allocated roughly 1 acre out of that project for vegetable trials and potential vegetable production in 2026. And I'm really excited about that. We're trialing sweet corn, romaine heart lettuce, cucumbers, green beans, and a few other things as well. I will take that information and present it to the Saskatchewan Vegetable Production Association as we're in talks with them as to, you know, what would be best for what they're looking for Saskatchewan vegetable production.
So, Lindsay, it sounds like just through this interview, family is extremely important for you. Tell us about your family.
Yeah, family is extremely important to us. So I grew up on the farm just south of where we're living right now in the Weimark area. I am very close with my parents and with my brother and his family and my sister and her family. We're very lucky to live close to them. And we, Brady and I, have 3 kids. Our oldest is 8, our middle guy is 6, and our daughter is 4. So we have 3 kids that are busy and energetic and a lot of fun.
Does that leave you much time to do any other stuff in the community? I know you do the flower tours and then get the kids involved there, but what else are you doing in the community?
I am busy with the kids, but I also, like I mentioned before, I work on the mental health unit in the hospital in Swift Current. I also sit on our Weimark School SCC. I get to go into the school and help with fundraisers and meals and that sort of thing, just really have a hand in what's going on at the school. I also, Brady and I also volunteer with our church in town in Swift Current here. And yeah, other than that, Brady also coaches hockey. So we're pretty involved in our little Weimark community here.
Yeah. Anything else in this interview that we haven't covered? We've gone through quite a few different things, but is there something that we haven't covered that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention all of the other nominees in the Sask OYF community. It was so amazing to get to know Mark and Cheryl and Stephen and Danielle and what they're doing with their farms, raising bison and organic eggs, and all the different things that both of these farms are doing are incredible. And so getting to meet them and hear about what they are doing is wonderful. They all have kids. They're all our age. So it's really inspiring to see that agriculture in Saskatchewan is growing. There's so much innovation and just so many intelligent people that make this province's agriculture sector run so well.
You're now Saskatchewan's representative for the National Outstanding Young Farmer Award Program. When does that take place and where is that being held?
So we will be going to Toronto November 26th through 30th, and there will be representatives from all the other provinces there. We'll do the same thing that we did in Regina, except on a bit of a bigger scale. We'll do another presentation, just a little bit longer. And also, they have all sorts of really interesting activities planned for us, so we're very excited to be able to go and have this experience.
Yeah, very interesting going to, I guess, the largest city in Canada. So it's almost the exact opposite of Weimark.
Yeah, that's right. And we're just grateful to have the opportunity to do this and represent the province. And just grateful for this interview, Neil, and I appreciate your time.